Good work. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Well, some of you know what's happening tonight on TV, right? There's a little awards ceremony, yeah, the Oscars. I heard something interesting. You may have heard this. They give a gift bag, a swag bag, to all the presenters and all of the losers. You know how much they estimate that that's worth? Have you heard this? $168,000. Now, $20,000 of that is a reading with the psychic, so you can take that off of the value. But still, you know, that, I guess by that standard, we're all poor. So today's sermon is going to speak to you, because last week we talked about what Jesus had to say to rich people in Luke chapter 12, and this week we're going to look at the rest of Luke chapter 12, where he talks to people that are not so rich, people that are poor. Now, really, by most standards, we're probably not, but by those standards, we probably are. You know, money is important. Money was so important that Jesus talked about it a lot. In fact, you heard me say last week that a third of his parables are about money or material things. A sixth of what Jesus said in the New Testament was about money or material things. So money does matter. To some of us, it matters too much. But it matters how we handle our money, how we handle our material possessions. And Jesus speaks about that in Luke chapter 12. In fact, really, he just says, we're going to look at two things he says to us today. He says, if you don't have a lot of money, here's two things you need to know. First one is a hard one. Don't worry about money. And the second one maybe is just difficult. He says, instead, stop worrying about money and start seeking God's kingdom. And he holds those two things really in opposition, in contrast. He says you can't seek God's kingdom if you're worried about money. So stop worrying about money and start seeking God's kingdom. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And which of you by worrying can add one single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. If God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourself money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he begins in verse 22 by telling us to stop worrying about money. That maybe is the most important statement he makes here. That really drives everything else that he says here. Remember, right before this, somebody had asked him to be an arbiter and a dispute about heredity, you know, make my brother share the inheritance with me. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And then he told him a story about a rich man and how a rich man misused his money. And he had some things to say to rich people. But then he goes on here and he says, in the same setting, he says, now, I've got some things to say to other folks too. Maybe you don't have so much money. So what does he say? He says, "This reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, your body, what you'll put on." Basically, he's saying, don't worry about material things. Don't worry about money. He's talking about here, again, not even about the luxuries in life. He's talking about the necessities. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about the clothes that you have to wear. He said, don't even worry about the necessities. When it comes to material things, when it comes to money, the thing we're supposed to do is stop worrying. Now, he doesn't just say it here. You see it, he says, uses the same word, worry, in verse 25. He uses the word again in verse 26. He uses the word, a similar word again, in verse 29. Throughout this passage, he talks about the fact that we shouldn't worry about money. Now, if you're rich, you probably don't. But most of us think of us as ourselves as not being particularly rich, and so we worry about it. I think it's important to look at the last sentence in verse 28, because what does he say to them? He says that we are people, we are men and women of little faith. In this passage, the opposite of faith is worry. And he says you can have faith in God and trust him with your money, with your material things, or you can worry about it. And he says if you worry about it, that shows little faith. Now again, sometimes we have trouble maybe relating to this. We think, well, I don't have an excessive preoccupation with money. I don't worry about it too much. The truth is, maybe we're not even poor. We live far above the necessities. Now, Jesus was talking to people, and that day, he was talking to men that if they didn't go out and get a job that day, they didn't have anything to eat because they got paid day by day. Now, it's hard for us to relate to that, but there are people around the world like that today. So when you look at the whole scheme of things, we're not that poor. But the truth is, we do worry about money, don't we? We worry about, am I going to keep my job? Because lots of people have lost their jobs. Am I going to be able to keep a car that I can rely on? You know, am I going to have money to buy a new car? Some of us worry about, am I going to be able to put my kids through college? But my son has a daughter that's a freshman, a daughter that's a senior in high school, and a son that's a junior in high school. I'm not sure what he's going to do for money in the next few years. But we worry about things like that, don't we? We worry about, am I going to get sick and have medical bills I can't pay? Am I going to have enough money for retirement? We worry about those kinds of things. And what does Jesus say when we worry about all those things related to money? What does he say? Stop worrying. Easy for me to say, I know, but that's what Jesus says. He says, stop worrying. And none of us are in the situation where if we didn't get paid tomorrow, we won't eat. Some of us could do without eating for a while, but that's another story. None of us are really that poor, and yet we worry all the time about money. And Jesus says, just stop it. Just stop it. And he gives us some reasons to stop worrying about money. If you go back and look at the text, by the way, this isn't a suggestion. He doesn't say, you know, it would be a really nice idea if you stopped worrying about money. This is a command. It's meant to be encouraging, but it's a command. He says, stop worrying. Don't worry anymore. Stop worrying about your life, what you're going to eat. Stop worrying about your body, what you're going to wear. And he gives us some reasons. Look at verse 23. He says, first of all, money's not that important. What does he say? He says, life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Life is more than money. Life is more than material possessions. There's more to life than just what we have. Now, some people have trouble with that. But life is more than what we just have. A few years ago, there was a robbery in a London bank, and they cleared out all the safe deposit boxes, and one lady was distraught afterwards. She said, I had $500,000 worth of stuff in that safe deposit box. That's all of my life. How sad is that? All of her life was the things that she possessed. Life is more than possessions, isn't it? What's life about? What's more important in life than your possessions? In fact, you're going to think this morning. Turn to somebody that's sitting next to you and tell them one thing in life that's more important than your possessions. What's more important than possessions? Jesus. Family. Health. Relationships. There's so many things in life that are more important than what we own. And that's what Jesus says. He says, don't worry about money because, first of all, it is not the most important thing. And the second thing he says is it doesn't really help to worry anyway. Yeah, look at the verses that follow. Look at verses 25 and 26. He says, it really doesn't help. Now, verse 25 is going to read different in different Bibles because in the original language it says this. He says, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his life? Those things don't go together. Cubit's a measure of distance, and, you know, and it doesn't measure life. So we'd expect him to say a single minute to your life or a single cubit to your height. And so some translations will say, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to your height? Others will say, which of you by worrying can add a single second or minute to your life? It doesn't matter which it is. Can you add anything to your height by worrying about it? My wife is laughing. Can you add any time to your life by worrying about it? No, the truth is, what happens when you worry? You shorten your life. Yeah, so Jesus is saying, not only is money not that important, he's saying it really doesn't help to worry anyway, so why bother? There's not a single thing that we accomplish by worrying. I have to remind myself of that regularly. There's not a single thing that we accomplish by worrying about it. So he says, it really doesn't matter. And the last thing he says to us, and this is maybe the most important, he says, we can stop worrying about money, we can stop worrying about material things, because God promises to meet our needs. God has said he'll meet our needs. Look at verse 24. The illustration in verse 24 is the birds. He says, they don't plant, they don't reap, they don't have barns and storerooms, and yet what happens? God feeds them. He says, are you more valuable than the birds? The answer is yes, you are more valuable than the birds. There's an old song written a while back. You probably heard it, you know, your eyes on the sparrow. That's a good reminder. It's based on this verse right here. He says, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. It says this, let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye's on the sparrow, so I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. If he watches out for the birds, you know that you're more important than the birds, okay? And then he says, gives another illustration in verse 27 and 28. What does he say? He says, look out at the flowers in the field, the wildflowers. He said, they're alive today. Tomorrow they take them up and they throw them in the furnace and they're burned up. He says, Solomon in all his splendor wasn't dressed as well, wasn't as beautiful, didn't look as good as those wildflowers out in the field. He said, if they're beautiful today, burned up tomorrow, how much more does God care about you? So I'm saying to you, you're more important than the flowers. You're more important than the birds. God cares about you and me, and he'll take care of us. And that's why we can quit worrying, because we know that he cares about us. Are we going to be people of little faith and worry all the time? Are we going to be like Jesus said? Stop worrying. In fact, I can almost hear Jesus saying, maybe it's just to me, he's going, stop worrying. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop worrying. But he has a positive thing to say. He says, if you're not going to worry, what are you going to start doing? If you're going to stop worrying, what are you going to start doing? Well, you start seeking God. You start seeking God's kingdom. Let's pick up the story. Pick up what Jesus has to say in verse 29. There really is a contrast here between seeking money and seeking God. Look at verses 29, 30, and 31 again. He says, do not seek what you'll eat and what you'll drink, and do not keep worrying. He says, you can spend all of your time worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying about what you're going to drink, worrying about what you're going to wear, worrying about what the house, you know, the roof over your head. He didn't say this, worrying about what car you're going to drive. You can worry about all that stuff. He says, stop worrying about that. Stop seeking it. Instead, seek, verse 31, seek his kingdom. And what's the promise when we seek his kingdom? all that other stuff will be added to us. Now, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is real simple. The kingdom of God is God's rule and God's reign in our lives. Now, that's going to be come to fruition when Jesus takes us to heaven, and we're going to see it in its fullness. But even right now, the kingdom of God exists, and where does it exist? It exists within us when we let Jesus rule in our life. When we let Jesus be king, the kingdom of God exists in us. And so when he's saying, seek the kingdom of God, he's saying, let me be in control of your life. He's saying, stop worrying and start letting me be in control. That's what he means. And he says, when you start letting me be in control, when you start seeking me first, when you start putting spiritual things above material things, what does he promise? That he'll take care of both the spiritual and the material. He has abilities to take care of things like we can't ever imagine. God has more resources than we have. And yet we worry about how we're going to pay the bills. We worry about what's going to come next. We worry about whether we're going to have money for retirement. And we forget that God has more resources than we have. And he promises if we'll just seek him first, he'll add all that other stuff. And again, he gives us some reasons that we ought to seek him first. If you look at these verses, the first reason is this. He says, if we'll put God first, he'll meet our needs. So I think it helps us to understand that seeking God's kingdom is putting God's first. And he's really saying here, and we talked about these verses, that you can't seek both. In another place, Jesus says you can't serve God and money, right? You got to make a decision. And that's what he's saying when he's saying when we seek the kingdom, we put God first, not only in our spiritual life, but in all of our life, including our money. Now, what does that mean? Well, it may impact the way that we spend our money, may impact the way that we make our money. Years ago, I know you guys are not Dallas Cowboy fans, but there was a great Dallas Cowboy player whose name was Bob Lilly. And he was a believer, and he retired, and he went into business, and he went into business as a beer distributor. And it didn't really bother him. And then the Lord began to work on him, and he realized that what he was doing to make money didn't really honor God. And he realized, you know, if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, I need to earn my money in a way that honors God. And he gave up a very lucrative business because he didn't feel like it honored God. Putting God first, seeking his kingdom, means that in all of our lives, even the way that we earn our money, it makes a difference. So we put God first. That's part of seeking the kingdom of God. The second thing you see in verse 32, we trust God's care. What does he say? He says, don't be afraid. And the promise is your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. In other words, we have all of God's resources. Why should we be afraid? Why should we worry? Do we have enough faith is the question to seek God first and let him meet our financial needs. Do we have enough faith to seek God first and let him meet our material needs? That's the question that Jesus is asking. Martin Luther says this. He said, I've held many things in my hand. I've lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, I still possess. Is that a good statement? I've held many things in my hand and I've lost them all. Whatever I placed in God's hands, I still possess. We've got to learn to trust God. He said he'll take care of us. He said, don't be afraid. We've got to learn to trust him. Now, I think that's one of the reasons that people don't give to church and don't give to charity. They think, well, I don't have enough money. I can't give anything because I need it all for myself. And they don't trust God to meet their needs. I mean, it's pretty clear that a lot of people just hang on to their money because they think, I just don't have enough. I don't know where the next bills are. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. Don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from. So what little I have, I can't give to God. Or I can't give to anybody else. And we've got to get over that if we're going to honor God. Sometimes maybe the reason we don't have any money is because we haven't been faithful with what we have. But that's another story. But churches, you know, churches do the same thing. They spend money on themselves because they don't know, well, we just can't afford to give money to missions. We can't afford to give money to ministries in the community. By the way, our church is not like that, okay? So you should say thank you to God that we're not like that. But there are churches that just hang on to money for themselves because, well, we can't afford it. We don't think God can meet all our needs, and we can't do everything we want to do as a church, and so we got to make sure we don't send too much out because we got to spend it on ourselves. Seeking first the kingdom of God is not only putting God first, but it's also trusting God to meet our needs. And then I'll say one other thing. Seeking first the kingdom of God means that we invest in eternity. We don't just invest in the here and now. We invest in eternity. Again, look at the last part of this passage. Look at verses 33 and 34. Now, Jesus says a hard thing in verse 33. He says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Now, that may be hyperbole. I don't think he's saying give it all away. Maybe he is. But he's saying you need to think about, don't just spend it on yourselves. Sell your possessions, give to charity. He says, if you do that, you'll make for yourselves money belts with do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. He's saying if you're going to invest in eternity, then you invest in things that matter for eternity. You don't just spend it on yourself now. You've often heard people say you can't take it with you, right? You heard people say, you know, what's the statement? There's no U-Hauls behind a hearse. But there are some things we can take with us if we spend our money in ways that help people come to know Jesus. Boy, that's going to make a difference in eternity, isn't it? If we spend our money in ways that help people grow in their relationship with Jesus, that's going to make a difference in eternity. How we spend our money can make a difference, but we can invest in the here and now and accumulate stuff, or we can invest in eternity, and it'll make a difference how we spend our money. You don't see it too much anymore. There used to be a bumper sticker floating around that said, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Yeah, guess what? Whoever dies with the most toys dies. But whoever dies and make an investment in eternity, they win. Because it matters not just for now, but for eternity. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do, to make an investment for eternity. There's a story told about a rabbi. And he lived in a simple house. All he had was some books, a bed, a table, and a chair. Somebody came to visit him and said, well, I figured you'd have more furniture than this. Why don't you have any more furniture? And he said, he told his guest, well, don't you have furniture? And he said, well, no, I'm just passing through. I'm just a tourist. And the rabbi said, so am I. Yeah. Jesus said it matters how we use our money. And most of us worry about money. Most of us are not financially secure, and we worry about it. And he says, stop worrying and start seeking God's kingdom. How we handle our money really does make a difference. It really does. I'm going to give you a little illustration. I've got a couple pennies here. Now, if I hold these pennies out here, you know, just away from me, I can see you fine and they don't get in my way. But what happens if I start focusing on these pennies? What happens if I get these pennies closer? They start to block my view, don't they? If I get them in here close enough, what happens? I can't see anything but the pennies. But money can be like that in our lives. We can focus on it so much we lose perspective. Jesus said, stop worrying about money and start seeking my kingdom. Jesus said, it doesn't matter to worry about it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all that other stuff. I'll take care of that. Are we going to trust Jesus to take care of all the money and seek him first? No, they're really, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make, and they're mutually exclusive. You can spend your time seeking money, or you can spend your time seeking Jesus. Which one really is going to make a difference for eternity? Let me encourage you, let's seek Jesus. Amen? I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. In a minute, we're going to have a time to respond, and I know I've basically talked about money, material possessions today, but you may be at the point in your life where there's other things happening. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If, If there's something going on in your life, I don't even need to know what it is that we just need to pray about. Would you raise your hand for us today? Just raise your hand if there's something going on we need to pray about. We need to lift you up. Thank you. Thank you. And there may be some here today that don't know Jesus, that don't know what it means to seek Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you need to know Jesus, would you raise your hand? Okay, let me pray for you. Then we're going to sing. You respond as the Lord leads. Father, there are so many needs. We bring so many needs. Some of them are financial, and there's all kinds of other ones too, Father, that we worry about. Father, help us to have faith in you. Help us to stop worrying. Help us to look to you. Father, we know that you have all power. We know that you want what's best for us. Father, help us to stop our worrying and start seeking you first and live a life where we'll find joy and you'll be honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together. I've decided to follow Jesus. Why don't you stand with me? You sing. This is your time to respond.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I'm going to show you a little video clip in a minute that previews what's coming in Sunday school. I didn't make this real clear last week. We're not changing what we do in Sunday school, but our normal Sunday school curriculum that guides us through the Bible is set up into different sections, different units, and the next 8-week unit that all of our adults and our students will be studying is going to be written by Tony Evans, and it deals with knowing Jesus, with the life of Christ. So I want you to see what's coming, because if you're not in a Sunday school class, you ought to be. And we have a number of classes, and we're starting a new one next week. So if you're not in another class, you know, there's a new class. You'll be in on the ground floor. Everybody's new. It won't be any different. You'll fit right in.
We cheer our teams. We follow them passionately, cherishing their every victory and feeling their every defeat. People scour the internet, social media, and magazines looking for any news on their favorite stars. But as Christians, why do we not have the same need to know everything about Jesus? Why are we not equally as passionate? Who is this man that countless books have been written about and songs sung in worship and praise for? Do you really know him? Jesus is like no other. The author of Like No Other, Dr. Tony Evans, founder and senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, will lead you through this 8-session study that is for all of us, showing you that Jesus Christ is more than theology on a shelf or a man that performed miracles a long time ago. This is your opportunity to get to know the friend that is like no other.